kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
On and discuss, and our title today is Our Confession of Love. Our Confession of Love. I want to turn, if we will, to Luke chapter 12 and verses 8 and 9. Luke chapter 12, verses 8 and 9, and we're calling our teaching Our Confession of Love. And it says here in these two verses, and I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man also will confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. So we see that our confession, our belief, causes God to confess us in heaven. I'll read it again, which he says, also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man also will confess before the angels of God. So there will be a confession in heaven, a confession to the angels of God. Why angels? Because angels guard us. God gives his angels charge over us. And so our protection, our preservation is very much connected with our confession and what we say and what comes out of our mouth. Because he says, but he who denies me before men will be denied before, who again? Angels of God. How we can miss that out with regard to angels, and how often we leave angels out of the Christian walk. Not that they are to be worshipped, but they are to be recognized as ministering spirits unto us. Why, our Lord indeed experienced ministering angels ministering to him, his time of temptation in the wilderness, and so on. Angels appear to us, we can entertain them we're not always aware that we entertain them. So they play a great part in our salvation and are making it in to the kingdom of God. And this is why we're calling our teaching today Our Confession of Love. You see, the Christian faith starts with faith and confession, doesn't it? And then confession and faith has to be what? Translated into deeds and actions. That is why the Bible tells us that we're not only to be hearers, but doers of the word. But it starts with confession. We confess upon the Lord Jesus Christ with the faith that has been given to us as a gift. And our confession tells us what we are. Our confession is heard in heaven and by ministering angels. Our confession is heard on the earth amongst men, women, our family, our friends, and so on. So confession plays a vital part. And obviously, our confession is a confession of love. And we will look at this later on. But also our confession is an indicator, and it tells us an awful lot what's going on in the person. This is why I make a lot and much about confession. because confession tells an awful lot what is going on in a person, whether indeed they are in faith, believing, trusting God, confessing the promises of God, or whether they're confessing fear and unbelief, frustration, anger, all those things that the world is so bound by. So confession is a great indicator. It says an awful lot. We learn a lot about people by what comes out of their mouth. We get a general idea of a person in time by what comes out of their mouth. And that's why Satan tries to attack the Christian and our words. And how does he do it? He tries to twist our words, particularly if we are sharing the gospel or the love of Christ. He will try and twist what we say. We see that so much in the Bible. The enemy tried it with Jesus. The enemy tried it with the disciples, the Apostle Paul, and so on. Lying. There are lying spirits that try to change what is said. Lying spirits are constantly trying to attack the Word of God. And we're all familiar with all of that. Or the enemy tries to stop us from saying what we should as a Christian by being either fearful of the results of maybe speaking out, or that we lack that boldness which we should ask for. Because the Bible says we should not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is something that God continues to work with us as believers, to share this good news, to seek those opportunities. And of course, none of this happens unless we are men and women of prayer. And we pray for these opportunities. This is why we are to pray for the word that goes forth. We are to pray for the laborers. The harvest is plentiful, it's the laborers, and that the laborers will be anointed, and that doors will open for an utterance to take place. Why am I laboring this? Because it's our confession of love. You see, the proclamation of the gospel starts with the word. It starts with words. It's what we speak out. The Bible consists of words. And we read those words. Now, God has chosen to communicate in this way. There are myriads of ways he could communicate, but he's chosen to give us 66 books of the revelation of his will, his word, words. Now, of course, he speaks through creation. He speaks through when you look at his handiwork. But there is nothing like the written word. It is the written word where seed is sown into the heart. A wonderful landscape or a beautiful sunset, you can be inspired, you can be emotionally moved, but it doesn't give you salvation. Salvation comes by hearing this word, hearing words, anointed words. And of course, we're so familiar of the parable of the sower, one of the greatest parables Jesus gave in the Bible. And there we see that words penetrate into the heart, the spirit of man. There is also a saying in the world, isn't there, that actions speak louder than words. Well, that is true to a certain extent, because for us, our words have to be translated into actions, into faith. An active faith. For example, our Lord going to the cross. That had to be translated into deeds. Otherwise, it would just have been words, but words not fulfilled by his Father's will. And so the words that we speak, the promises that we confess, are to come to pass. There's no point confessing God's promises if you don't believe the active side of it. There's no point confessing it otherwise. There's no point confessing the love of God if you still hold resentment in your heart or unforgiveness. It is contrary, and yet we do it. And so God has to do something in which these words that change us and conform us not only to the image of God, but being not only hearers, but doers also of this word. I'm reminded of Peter when he denied the Lord. And we all know the story very well, but there's something here that I want us just to have a look at in passing. For example, let's turn to Matthew 26. Matthew 26 and verse 35. Matthew 26 and verse 35. And this, of course, is where Jesus was betrayed. They all fled. They all forsook him. They said they wouldn't. They would be with him. They would even die for him and so on. And here we take it up in verse 35, and Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And Peter said, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. And look at verses 33 and 34. Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." So Peter's confession, it's interesting, is so different when Jesus rises from the dead and there he meets them. They're out fishing. And then they see the Lord and he comes to him and then he challenges him. "Peter, do you love me?" And three times he challenges him with that statement. And on the third statement, something happened. That statement penetrated his heart because he said, "You know all things." He had learnt that it is not in his strength. It's not even in his confession. Unless the Spirit of God touches us. His confession was so different when love got hold of him. You see, self has no problem speaking out because it's based on feelings. And so much, sadly, Christendom is based on feelings, emotions. Big swelling words, words of promises, and so on. Just like the disciples and Peter. It's not only Peter, the disciples were the same as well. And we've done it. And we'll go to the moon and back for God. When push comes to shove, where are we to be found? And do you know why? Because love has not penetrated the heart yet. You see, true love is only experienced by experiencing the hurt of the question. And on the third time, that hurt him. And that is what it has to be done, in which to penetrate into the heart. You see, Peter loved Jesus. But anyway, he loved him like any natural person does. But it's the emotions that are working. And as I say so often, emotions do not save us. Emotions are like the wind, they change in us. And this is why we have the revelation of God's word, which doesn't change. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is reliable. We can stand upon it, believe it, confess it, and allow it to penetrate into our hard hearts, so that God changes these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. Then you begin to wake up. You see, it may reach deep into our natural self, but it never penetrates the spirit of a person. And that is what it has to do. The seed of this word has to penetrate the spirit of the person. That is you. We are spiritual beings. Our bodies are just an encasement. The real person is the spiritual side of you, and that is eternal, and that goes to two places. It will either go to heaven with the Lord, or it will go to hell in torment. You can't destroy that side of us. And that is why God's word has to penetrate into the spirit of man or woman. And when it does, then our confession changes. You see, it's love in everything he does. We have to realize that God loves us so much that he will chastise us at times. He will corner us sometimes. He will allow us to go through trials and tribulations, yes, and blessings, in order for this word to penetrate the heart of man. Our hearts, we don't even know. We are deceived by our own hearts until God opens our eyes. When it speaks about opening the eyes, it's really speaking about the inner man, the heart being opened. That's what it means. For the purpose that your confession, my confession, changes. It lines up with the word of God so that it's heard in heaven by what? The angels who are ministering to us. Until we deal with every deception of ourselves, we hinder the word penetrating into our hearts. And we call it the deeper life. We have to deal with every area the Holy Spirit will highlight. And he will. And that is a miracle, because we don't see it, brothers and sisters. We are blinded. Pride blinds our eyes. And that is why we're to bow our knees before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and keep those knees bowed in his presence. That's a way of getting the enemy off your back, who blinds you, who stops you from hearing the word of God. As some saint said this, the word of God inflicts, hurts us more than sin ever could. The word of God inflicts, it hurts us more than sin ever could. You might sound surprised by that. Why? Because the Bible says that sin dulls our senses. That's why. So we thank God that yes, it hurts. It's penetrating. It's that dart that goes right into the spirit, to the heart. And thank God for that. Because if you're left to sin, it will simply dull your senses more and more until you can't discern between your left and right hand. And that sadly is what is happening in the world today. That is what sin is doing. The great falling away that's taking place. But remember that Jesus' pain inflicts in which to heal us. Always remember that. It's easy to fall out with God. It's easy to misinterpret what he's doing and everything. And we've all done it. But remember, he always does it out of pure love, a pure heart and motive. Why? Because as the title tells us today, it's our confession of love. This good news, this Bible, this gospel we hold is God's love message to us. And that's why we have such regard and respect for it and reverence. I know we know this well, but this so describes what I'm saying today with regard to our confession in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is living. No other book in existence that's been written, even the works of Shakespeare, cannot compare with the word of God is living. And not only that, it's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Exactly what I've been talking about. That is what the word of God does. It pierces, it divides, it deals with the soul and spirit. In other words, the word of God deals with the whole man, body, soul, spirit. Yes, he's not only come to save us, to change these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh, but he's also come to renew our lives, to heal us, to deliver us, to change our minds, our thinking. It just goes on. And joints and marrow. Yes, he deals even in old age with the aches and pains. Keeps that arthritis away and everything by this word. This word that we confess. Or we should be confessing. And not only that, but it discerns thoughts and intents. In other words, it exposes motives. And many times our motives are wrong. They're ungodly. They're selfish. Even God deals with that. So that our love, our confession of love, the words that come out of our mouth are God's love, this good message, this good news. And guess what? Those in the highways and the byways, the rejected of this world, will hear it and they will respond. You see, brothers and sisters, when our lives are outside his will, we feel the pain. And that is God given to us so that when we're out of his will, He's going to let us feel pain until we come back and we receive his true love. And this is why I pray so often for those who've left us, that they will not have peace. They will not be blessed. Make that nest as uncomfortable as you can, Father, in your mercy. Because that is what gets their attention, to bring them back into the fold and the love of God. God showed me those prayers years back. And when you come back, and it's faith, it's grace, it's mercy, it's all those virtues and resources of heaven open up for you. Why? Because those ministering angels are ministering again. They can only minister according to the word of God and God's will. They do not go against the word of God. And therefore, blessing will not flow. Because it's about confession. And God is confessing our name. And therefore, we confess this good news to a dying world. Brother Freeman was very hot on his old saying that he would say, confession brings possession. And he was right. We are too often confessing the opposite to what God says about us. Listen at times what comes out of our mouth. How this must affect our Father when we confess the opposite of what his word says about us. I knew the trial I went through recently was very dependent on confession. And I found myself at times, once or twice, confessing the opposite. And thank God for the Holy Spirit who pricks, who gets your attention. And you're able to take it back and let the blood of the Lamb deal with it. Yes, I know. Why? Because the devil's out to try and rob our confession. He doesn't want our confession of love affecting the world, affecting your families, your loved ones, those you work with, and so on. Think how powerful our testimony is with the actions with our actions that are motivated by the Spirit and love, and also our confession of love. Because that is what faith does. Now, you don't strive and try to work at this. As I always say, it comes by yielding over to the Spirit. It comes by allowing the Holy Spirit to do this work. If you try and live this, if you try and emulate this, you will come unstuck. And that's why some are no longer with us, because they've tried to walk this. They tried to confess. They tried to believe. They tried to act their faith. And in the end, in utter despair, frustration and anger, you can't. It's not in doing, it's in being. It's yielding. It's acknowledging that you can't do this, but you are giving permission for the Holy Spirit and all that he's given to do this, to take over. The Christian faith is about God taking over. Why is it we do not hear ministers and preachers preaching this enough? But God is patient. He stays with us. He doesn't give up. because of his love. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. It's just an exhortation today, and I trust that it's helped and encouraged. But our confession of love, we must allow the Holy Spirit to do whatever it takes in our lives so that this gospel, this good message, comes out of our mouth, our words. And from our words come the deeds that are translated. Yes, God can do it. He wouldn't give it to us. It wouldn't be there if it was not possible. It's impossible with man, but possible with God. And that is why we can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. Father, we thank you for helping and encouraging us. We thank you, Father, that your word, it does penetrate. Yes, it does hurt. But you are going to let that happen because you are not going to let sin dull our heart, our conscience. And if need be, you will move heaven and earth. And Father, we are truly grateful for this. Father, may we continue to yield, to get out of the way, and that you take over in all these things. Father, thank you for our time, our fellowship, coming together. We thank you, Lord, we don't take any of this lightly. We thank you, Lord, that you have chosen in your infinite wisdom to speak to us, to minister to us, to encourage us. Out of all the world, you've chosen to do this tonight. We'll never fully understand, but we thank you from a grateful heart. And so, Lord, I pray you'll bless, preserve and keep my brothers and sisters. Be with them when they go out and when they come in. And, Lord, be the strength of their life in all they say and do. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Let him in constancy follow the master.